Today, believers everywhere celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. It's miraculous that someone who was dead for 3 days walked out of his tomb. But it's even more extraordinary why he died in the first place. His death on the cross, the resurrection on Easter Sunday, changes everything. Over the next few minutes, we'll share 7 ways Easter transforms our lives. 1. Our sin debt with God is paid in full. We don't like to think of our sin as a debt against God, but it is. Our self-centeredness and rebellion have left each one of us spiritually bankrupt. We owe God a debt we could never repay. So God, in His profound love, chose to satisfy it for us. He didn't dismiss our debt. His justice would not allow that. Rather, the judge stepped down from the judgment seat, took off his robes, and stepped into the shoes of the condemned. Jesus, God's perfect Son, exchanged His righteousness for our unrighteousness, bearing our sins upon Himself as He hung on the cross. Therefore, the Apostle Paul writes, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul proclaims there is absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friend, do you truly believe this? Do you accept God's word that your sin debt has been permanently satisfied by the blood of Christ? Do you truly believe that God can never love you any more than He loves you now in Christ? If so, will you believe that He will never love you any less than He does His beloved Son, in whom He is well pleased? Because of the cross, you and I are loved and accepted by God, perfectly and eternally. Period.
White as snow.
too. We're adopted into God's family as sons and daughters of the King. In the first chapter of Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, he writes, "For he, God, chose us in him, Christ, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us." Paul continues this theme in Galatians 4, where he writes, "But when the time set had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir." Can we even begin to grasp this? Because of the shedding of Christ's blood on the cross, we're not only redeemed from our sins, we're adopted into God's family. Before the creation of the world, the Father chose you and me to be his children. He sent his Son to transform rebels and renegades into sons and daughters. Because of the cross, we're not just forgiven servants, we're favored children. We've become co-heirs with Christ, adopted into his royal family, where we can cry out like children to their loving Papa, who just happens to be the King of creation.
Seeking me.
Number 3. We are transformed by the power of His Spirit. A few days before Jesus was crucified, He told His closest disciples it was to their advantage that He returned to heaven. It was only then that His Father could send the Holy Spirit to empower and transform them. In John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Because of the cross, Jesus made the way for the Holy Spirit to indwell and empower us. By His Spirit, we come to repentance and faith. By His Spirit, we're born again and transformed into His likeness. By His Spirit, we can serve one another through spiritual gifts and bless one another through spiritual fruit. By His Spirit, He brings all the parts of His body, the church, under the headship of Christ. All because of the cross. Number 4. We can be healed in body, mind, and spirit. Because of the cross, we can be healed in body, mind, and spirit. The skeptic might ask, don't Christians get sick and die? Don't they have the same problems as everyone else? The honest answer is yes. Those who follow Christ still face disease and death. We too must endure hardship, disappointment, depression, and soul-crushing loss. The difference is that those who place their faith in Jesus know a peace and a power that passes understanding. We know that the cross ensures that one day every tear will be dried, every mind restored, and every disease healed. 700 years before Jesus was born, God gave the prophet Isaiah a vision of Jesus, our Messiah. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus paid the price for sin and its terrible effects. He gave the world a foretaste of his kingdom as he healed those with disease, gave sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf, restored sanity to the insane, and even raised the dead to life. But his power extended far beyond the physical realm. At the cross, Christ defied the power of the grave and destroyed the gates of hell. He defeated the demonic powers that held humanity captive and freed those living under their dominion. One day, perhaps one day soon, our healing will be complete when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise with new bodies clothed with immortal glory. On that day, for the very first time, we shall be whole in body, mind, and spirit, all because of the cross.
Jesus makes all things new. things new. Jesus makes all things
new. Number 5. We can be unified in love and worship. Faith in Jesus, while personal, is never private. We live out our lives in Christ in the context of community, the community of His body, the church, and the community of those who have yet to know Him, the world. At the Last Supper, just hours before these very men would deny and betray Him, Jesus wrapped a towel around His waist and knelt down to wash their feet. After the Son of God completed the work of the lowliest servant, Jesus looked at them and said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Jesus calls us to extend the same grace and forgiveness to others that He lavished upon us at the cross. Jesus calls us to serve one another, even our adversaries, in love, even as He loved us and laid down His life for us at the cross. Jesus calls us to be reconciled to each other, even as God reconciled us to Himself by Christ's death at the cross. In the words of the Apostle John, "We love because He first loved us." Regardless of race, gender, politics, or nation, we are reconciled to one another and united because of the cross. Number 6. We look forward to the new heaven and new earth. By His death on the cross and His resurrection from the grave 3 days later, Jesus not only redeemed fallen humanity, He also redeemed fallen creation. The Apostle Paul writes these words to the believers in Rome: "For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God." You and I live in eager anticipation of the final restoration of all things, written about by the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" Because of the cross, we are not only guaranteed an eternity in heaven, but a new heaven and a new earth in which God Himself will dwell among us.
Amazing things.
Number 7. We are made ambassadors of this good news. The blind man whose sight was restored by Jesus just had to tell everyone he saw. The deaf man Jesus healed couldn't help but tell anyone who'd listen. The woman at the well told all her Samaritan friends about Jesus. The parents whose daughter Jesus raised from the dead just had to tell someone, anyone, everyone. We don't have to be seminary-trained evangelists to tell what we've experienced. We just need to tell our own story, in our own words, to our world. It's one thing when a witness is subpoenaed to give testimony in court, but that's not the case for the Christ follower. We're compelled not by law, but by love. The Apostle Paul writes these words to the believers at the church in the Greek city of Corinth. For Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We have the privilege of being God's ambassadors, representing his present and coming kingdom to our world. We've been commissioned to preach and teach in his name and, by his authority, to make disciples by loving one another with head-turning compassion. Because of the cross, we're no longer just living for ourselves. Rather, we're living for Christ, for one another, and for the mission He's given us. Because in Christ, your life is no longer your own. If you're living as if it is, I implore you, be reconciled to God through Christ. Recognize that your sin debt has been paid in full at the cross. Understand that you've been permanently adopted into God's family. Allow His Spirit to transform you into the person God created you to be. Experience the wholeness of mind, body, and spirit that only Christ can bring. Enjoy deep unity and fellowship with other believers despite your differences. Live in eager expectancy of a new heaven and new earth. Be an enthusiastic ambassador of God's mercy and grace. All these things are yours because of the cross.
Speak the love of Christ, my Lord and Master crucified. I testify His precious blood became a cleansing crimson flood, the sinner's healing tide.
If I could see such a song I'd ever find, each note would soar on eagle's wings to praise with angels as they sing the Savior of mankind. But should I sing for all my days this melody, how could I say in songs of praise all Christ has done for me? So I must live the love of Christ and go where Christ alone would go. I'll bear His cross, share His pain without the hope.
cross and share his pain without the hope.